Hey guys, Erin Nicole here. I recorded this on my way to a fun hike, so there is one edit in it because I always want to bring you the truth, and I said 3 weeks instead of 3 days. So you'll hear a little bit of a sound difference in it, but otherwise, totally authentic. Enjoy! Hi there, this is Erin Nicole, and you're listening to the Move Happy Movement podcast. On this show, I interview people from all walks of life, every industry, and I also try to do a variety of ages, religious backgrounds, socioeconomic statuses to help you understand, no matter what kind of background you have, and to help positively influence you to be empowered and to learn how to be empowered from within to find your own happiness. Because we really need, in my opinion, and what the literature continues to demonstrate, we need to take charge of our own emotional states. And we have the tools to do that. And if you don't know those tools, that's what this show is all about. Sometimes I also do spirit-led sermons from my divine, the creator of the universe. And in my household, we believe in the Holy Trinity. We respect all faiths. We're in alignment with the U.S. military standards that are across all Veterans Administration hospitals and medical clinics, which means that we do not have any biases towards any religious choices as long as your religious practice does not harm another human being, and especially children. Sometimes I do spirit-led music that the divine inspires. Some of it is spiritual genre, some of it's not. But all with the intention for it to help you be empowered from within to find your own happiness, typically kid-friendly. Though some of my sermons, I do warn parents prior to listening to share, you know, to decide amongst yourselves before sharing with young ears, because I am real. I'm authentic. I grew up in the hood, and I had to learn a lot of things as a child that most families would try to guard their children from ever hearing about. But I bring it to you straight, and I believe that the creator of the universe has called me as the woman in the world to teach you about depression, because I have depression, and I've lived through just about every challenging life circumstances that you can think of. The list of all the challenging things that one would go through, although I haven't lost a limb, I don't have experience in the military. I am a veteran spouse, and so I bring you that perspective as well. And I'm really excited, very excited. I decided to, I've been forced to separate from my husband for over a year now because of these political games going on, but I've been called to bring unity in our nation, and so I continue to stay plugged in and focused on what I can choose to focus on in regards to finding my own happiness or discovering it or creating it myself. And I'm on a road trip right now to do a fun hike. I love going out in nature. I love working on my fitness. And I think it's my duty as a spouse of a veteran, right? My husband has his challenges and expectations of fitness, right? To be war ready at all times. So to me, it wouldn't be fair if I let my body go, right? It wouldn't be fair to him. When he and I get reunited after a year plus, we were forced to separate on Easter Sunday of 2022. It wouldn't be fair to him when I do get reunited to be flabby, right? Because I was a certain fitness level when he met me. We and I decided together to take care of one another until death do us part. And leadership and power can't figure out how to get along with each other. So he and I were forced to separate because of our top level leadership, both top level leaders, previous president that will always have the title, and our current active president. Yep. And that's okay. I can't change how they behave, but I can positively influence them through sharing my truth, and I can keep focused on doing things that help me be a good role model to you if you're listening to this show. And I'm believing for October when I will get to meet all of the top level leaders that are alive in our nation, as well as their spouses. And my husband and I will be reunited, and the person that caused us to be separated, that has disrespected many women around the nation, he's going to apologize. He's going to correct his behavior, and he's going to sign a contract with witnesses from our top level leadership, and everyone will get a copy of it. So he will never do this again, and he will humble himself, and we are going to talk about that privately. So I'm very excited for October, and so between now and then, as I'm airing this show, it is airing it on the 28th of May in 2023, and so by October, I'm believing for that meeting. So it's only a few months away, and I am taking myself on a random trip. I haven't been able to use GPS maps on my phones off and on since October of 2020. There's been seasons where my maps just won't work. I have people that protect me. I don't know who they are. I just know that both political parties decided to protect me in 2020. They both took time with me separately, their security detail teams. And my job is to bring our nation together. That's what my assignment is from my deity above. And to be an example around the world that you can choose love instead of causing more division. I could easily destroy this man's career and our top level leadership's political reign, and he would immediately get impeached and his whole team would be disbarred. But that's not my calling, and that's not my assignment from my deity. I believe in the power of Jesus Christ, and what did he say to do? Forgive your enemies. 70 times 7, forgive people. And so I can't wait to demonstrate one of the most powerful examples of forgiveness to our top level security detail person. That's what he said and he claimed to be when he came to my house in 2020 and provided me security detail protections. So I'm believing that he is going to connect our top level leadership because he has the power to do so. And he's not going to make any excuses because mental health is the priority for the entire world right now. And the Holy Spirit, as I was listening to some Tori Kelly music on my way to my hike, the Holy Spirit told me, Aaron, I want you to get your phone out and I want you to talk about the value of currency in the marketplace and how you actually are in charge of your own price point, your own value. Okay? So the first thing that came to mind was Jim Rohn. And if you want to look him up, he passed away, I believe, in the 90s. Jim, J-I-M, and then R-O-H-N. I actually, super blessed, in 2015 when I joined a direct sales company, I found out when I got my dad involved in it the year before he passed away, a year and about a half, so about 18 months before in March, I got him signed up maybe around April or so. And in our starter kit was an audio CD from Jim Rohn, as well as the CEO and founder of the organization. At that time, the company was called Nerium, N-E-R-I-U-M, and Jim Rohn was someone that Jeff Olson, who was the president and founder of it at that time of the organization, he looked up to him. He learned from him in the industry. He was a very famous person in the direct sales industry. He worked for like a nutritional company, and then they started paying him to speak at multiple direct sales organizations, right? Tony Robbins, who is a multi-billionaire, who is personal friends with many presidents, I believe on the Democratic side, he worked with Jim in the 70s when he was 17 years old. I know that because I listened to a lot of his content the year that I got the smartphone that I knew how to operate, 2015, and then the year my dad died in 2016. So I was consuming his content. And when I heard that he worked for Jim in the 70s, I was like, oh my gosh, my dad worked for Jim in the 70s. I wonder if they worked the same events. And one of the audio things that I had listened to from Jim Rohn, he talked about how you can actually help yourself earn more money in the marketplace. Your value, the way they pay you at any job, in any industry, in any nation, is based on what value you bring to the marketplace. And I was listening to that and I was absorbing that in addition to spiritual audios and videos and things on my commute to work when I worked at the psychiatric hospital where Move Happy was first birthed. And I started applying what I was listening to in my workday, right? I decided to accept a position that it was only required to have a bachelor's level, and I had a master's degree, but I was struggling getting a full-time job with the master's degree that I had. And so I was like, all right, well, let me try and work at this psychiatric hospital. It's full-time, Monday through Friday, day shift. I have evenings and weekends off, full medical, like, this will allow me more time to see my dad. Because at that point, my dad had been diagnosed with pneumonia, and then they misdiagnosed him. A couple weeks later, they re-diagnosed him with cancer, and then they were doing biopsies, which took a couple more weeks. And the day that I interviewed for the job was the day that we found out that it wasn't pneumonia, it was cancer. And so I told my person that was interviewing me, there was a few of them, but she gave me the tour to get to the office where we did the interviews, Sue Bender. She connected with my story because I was being authentic, and her father had passed away from cancer. So a month later, they had called me because there's lots of hoops to jump through if you work a government job. And so they had, you know, all these different departments had to verify and do background checks and all things. One of my professors, she was a assistant instructor, I should say, was her title. I don't think she has a PhD, but she was a veteran spouse. And she had come to my undergrad and was a mentor of mine. She helped me through my PTSD when I was raped from a soldier that was my boyfriend that decided to disrespect my wishes to wait until marriage. And she invited me to babysit her kids. So she knew me from an academic standpoint and also a personal standpoint. So she was one of my letters of recommendation for this job. And a month later, I'm offered the position. And a week after that, on a Wednesday, my third day with patients, my dad died. It was very quick. It was very quick. And my boss recognized that. She said, but they just found out it was cancer. I said, I know. I know. And so I needed this job. I needed it for income. My divorce had finalized in May of 2016. And my dad died in October. And I had selected a lawyer that wasn't a very good one, that was stealing from me and my friends and overcharging me for things that she shouldn't have been. And I was spending money I didn't have to protect myself because my first husband had decided to move our bank account illegally to a separate account. He had canceled my medical insurance illegally during the divorce process. He did a lot of nasty things, even though his parents were millionaires. And that's okay. Those are the choices that he made. In times of scarcity and stress, true character comes out. And he lied about not getting a lawyer. We had agreed we weren't going to get a lawyer. We were going to do it amicably. But I had made friends with neighbors and they were looking out for me. I had to move out of his house. He didn't add me to his home when he refinanced his home. He could have, and he offered it to me as a part of the agreement to be married. But I didn't believe that that needed to be my refinance. I didn't believe I needed to be on it for some reason. It just didn't sit right with me because he bought it before we got married. And all that I desired was my salary to get separated from him. And so I went through that process. And then, of course, the financial disarray of that, I was dealing with that. I was dealing with a lot of negativity. I could have easily focused on all of the troubles of the world, right? But I made a decision. And I come from a very spiritually sound household. Very plugged into the church from a very young age. My parents went to church every Sunday. That was a standard in our home until junior high, and then we had the option. But by then, all my friends were going to the church as well, and I enjoyed it, and the youth pastors were great. So I continued on. I made the decision to continue on. My parents never forced us anything faith-related. They allowed us, encouraged us to learn about different faiths and attend different kinds of churches, including, like, one of my friends had a Buddhist temple I would go and check out, and Catholic churches. My grandmother would come, my mother's mother would come in the summers, and we would attend her Catholic services and whatnot. And so I had this strong foundation of faith, right? And so during challenging times, I have my core pillars, I have my character. I continue on as best as I can with what I have available. And your value in the marketplace might mean you have to humble yourself and accept a position to get your foot in the door. And then you can prove that you deserve to be paid more, right? Based on getting to know them and showing them what you are willing and able to do. So when my father died, it was painful, right? But it was a blessing because all of my coworkers, I had called they had an automated line in order to call out sick. I thought it was just for my supervisor. I didn't understand who was listening to that voicemail. Well, any employee at the hospital had full coverage, full access if they wanted to know who was going to be out so that they could prepare mentally for staff coverage, because we were dealing with patients that were, some of them, highly volatile, and our personal safety was number one priority, right? Everyone had access to this voicemail. And so I didn't know that, so I left a voicemail saying that my dad had died and that I was going to take the day off, and I did, to help my mother with the arrangements and to grieve and whatnot. And then that was on a Wednesday, and then Friday I came back to work. Why did I come back to work? Because I needed it. I needed to show up to my job. You might be listening to this right now and you've lost a loved one and you're struggling with the grief. I'm here for you. I completely understand where you're coming from. I lost my dad in one of the most challenging years of my life. But you have a decision to make. You can either pull the blanket over your head and pretend like you're not dealing with it, right? Or you could show up to your job, show up to school, and keep trying. People will have compassion for you if you let them know what's going on in your life. And if they don't, and if they disrespect you, guess what? Everybody's hiring right now in the world, because the global pandemic really flipped the script on all of these big industries and how they have been disrespecting the little guy, the little girl, the little person for a long time. It's time for the top 1% to have their eyes and ears wide open. Your value in the marketplace is determined by you, partly, by the average salary available in your area, right? So you could do some due diligent research when you're applying for jobs. What is the average salary for? Plug in the name of the job you're applying for. Plug in your city, right? There's more than likely data available for you to know that before you get into your interview. And so when they ask you, well, what are your salary demands, or what is your range that you're hoping to get for? They want a number from you, right? Everything is a negotiation. And I've gotten a lot of advice from men, because men help each other out and men desire to help women make more money. Women don't. What I've experienced is most women will try to hold each other back, which is sad. I don't. I've helped a lot of women and men for free, many of which didn't deserve it, but I believe in my deity and I do what he assigns me to do. And so I'm learning to raise my standard, and I'm also a teacher. I am held to a higher standard in my faith system to teach you accurate information about how to make more money in the marketplace, right? How to add more value to your resume, right? To your personal brand. So knowing what the range is in your mind and maybe writing it down on your own copy of your own resume that you don't give to them, right? That you have in front of you so that you can say, oh, I'm using this as a reference for if you're going to speak about a certain position that I've had in my experiences. That way we're both on the same page, right? Super simple if they ask you, right? Chances are they're not going to ask you, but they might. Write down that range, right? Write down what the average salary range is. Always ask for more than the top. Always ask for more because you know what the top of their range is in that area. So if you ask for more, you say, but, you know, my value is this, right? Let's say, for example, the job you're going for is between $100,000 and $150,000, right? My value is $250,000, but I understand with the recession, with the pandemic, and a lot of job losses around the nation, a lot more rises in everything from gas to groceries, everything. I understand and I respect that if your company isn't able to afford what my value is in the marketplace, I'm willing to have a little wiggle room with that. What does your budget allow right now in the current circumstances of our nation? And then be quiet. You've let them know that you're valuable, and you've let them know that they could get you to work for them, and you're willing to negotiate based on the parameters of society, right? So then they might just immediately tell you the range, right? That would be an easy button. But chances are, if it's a high salary position, they're gonna play ball with you, right? They're gonna have and let you know that they have lots of candidates that they have to sort through. But if you do a good job in the interview and they wanna hire you, they're gonna make a decision quickly. Leaders, good leaders, make quick decisions. They trust their gut and they'll go from there, right? So that's my recommendation to you is if you're in the interviewing process, look up what the average salary is for the positions you're applying for in your specific area. If you're willing to move, that's a new variable in the mix. If you're willing to move, decide before the interview process, before you discuss numbers with them, what cities you're willing to move in, what the average salaries of those cities are, and then do the same process, right? Keep it simple. Research that city's average salary for that particular position. If the position does not have data available for the salary, then figure out what you're willing to do that job for, what the demands of the job are, and what you desire to be paid. And you can let them know that up front. My value is this. That's your desired pay, right? But I'm willing to work with your budget. What does the budget allow? Don't tell them what your bottom number is. I've done that a few times. I've told them I've been honest with my bottom number, and that has cut a lot of opportunities out for me. So I want to help you not do what I've done in the past that has been a failure, right? You can learn from the good and the otherwise. Don't tell them your bottom number, but know yourself and write your own bottom number down if you need to write it down, or let them know a good response if they offer you something and you want to work for them, but they haven't given you the amount of money that you know you could get out of them. Let them know, my husband and I, my spouse and I, my partner and I are going to pray on this. Or if you're single, I'm really connected to my divine. Is it okay if I pray on this and get back to you? They're not going to say no, because A, if you live in the United States of America, it's illegal for them to discriminate against you based on your religious practices. And if they understand that you're not going to make a quick decision right away based on their offer to hire you, then they messed up and they didn't offer you enough, right? They obviously want you. So it's a negotiation. Don't go with the first offer if it's not what you desire and you know you could get paid for, right? There are companies all over the world right now that are hiring. But because of 2020, the shutdown, what happens in recessions is companies get, and everybody gets to the point where they're penny pinching. They're getting cheap. They don't want to spend money. If people are willing to work for cheaper, and they can do the job effectively, they'll hire someone that's willing to do the job cheaper, right? So keep that in mind. Make sure that you have a strong brand presence online. If you don't have a strong brand presence, or you're not sure how to build one, I can help with that. Not right now, but when my divine allows me to. I'm in a quiet season right now because of this contract that the top security person of our nation signed to keep me alive with the Illuminati group. My husband and I believe. The woman that had conned her way onto my team over the course of a year was very strategic, and this wasn't the first time this group tried to get me to join their group. It's a satanic worshiping group. They sacrifice children. They're no good. She used the language private church group and elders and all kinds of churchy language. She had a PhD in divinity, which is sounds like a church thing, but it was a real PhD. I believe it. In the end times, in Revelations, we are close to the end times, if you haven't been aware. It speaks about there will be false prophets, false ministers, however the language is based on the translation that you're reading. We are in the end times. And I don't know when we're all going to be called yet. I have been called into ministry as of December of 2020. And based on my divine. So I know that it's coming soon because he continues to reveal verses to me about the end times. So it's my duty to give you the truth. And you also have to make money right now in the world, right? Or barter for services. If you're one of my Move Happy community members helped me to expand my company using internships. He had coached me over direct message in 2020. He lives in, I forget if it's South America or Central America. He lives in a commune. And they sell like the milk, and like they cut the hair off the sheep, and they all barter with community members in their area. He lives with strangers. He needed to make a shift in his life after he had gone through a divorce, and he did. And he became kind of like a missionary in another area. I don't know if he ministers to people specifically with scriptures, but he does with his actions and his kindness. And he ministered to me in 2020 when I was completely isolated in a state that I wasn't planning to get stuck in. I tried my best to create pieces of content to make it look like I had planned it, but I didn't. There was doctors that refused to test my roommate and my family member, my sibling. Yeah. Refused to test after they had 5 days of flu-like symptoms. Laughed at my roommate and said, there's no way you could have COVID. You're not 85 years old. So our nation was not in cohesion when the shutdown happened. And I made a decision because I have asthma. And I also wasn't happy with how I was being treated in that household. I made a decision to stay planted where I was at. Even my own mother, I love her to death, but she sided with my sibling instead of listening to me and talking to me. She had assumed that the perfect child in our family couldn't have made the mistake. And it's okay. She and I have made up, and I'm believing for either in October or between October and the next inauguration that my brother and I will get reunited, my sibling, my favorite person in the world. He and I will get reunited, and it'll be like a Joseph moment in the Old Testament where I will welcome him home. This Illuminati people, this group is all the riches of the world, which is owned by Satan. You may or may not believe that that's the term. You can call the term the enemy, darkness, however your faith system identifies it. They're evil people. I helped this woman. I helped save her marriage, fixed her marriage in 2 hours with my Rich Happy Therapy experience for free. She got a free seat because she had told me that her husband and her were going to coach me to grow my business. She was very convincing and planned the whole thing out, and then she tried to have me killed. Not a good person. And if my deity decides that I can reveal her name publicly in the future, I will. But he hasn't told me to do that yet, so I'm keeping her name out of it. But there are many people in very large circles that know who she is. And she made a decision. She made a very poor decision, and I let her know. Everyone in Hollywood will not want to be associated with you. You made a very poor decision. Both political parties protected me. If you try to come after the person that you made sign a contract with you, we will hunt you down. My family will hunt her down. And I have no qualms about it. Why? Because my deity told me that it's okay to say that to her. She got thousands of people from all over the world to try and steal my intellectual properties and told my inner circle that I was suicidal, created false propaganda in order to have me lose a contest for the global mental health ambassadorship that is being added to all major nations in the world. That's why she had conned her way onto my team, because she was trying to ride on the coattails of my success. And when I was struggling, she didn't lend a helping hand. She quickly turned into a wolf. And that's okay, because the enemy will try to deceive you and try to destroy you and cause division on your team. And I had the best protection from both political parties step up to help me, to analyze, to evaluate. And they have allowed her to steal from me for almost 3 years now. And they have been watching and paying attention to everything. Because in my faith system, it says that anything stolen from a child of the Most High King without his permission will be repaid tenfold. So I'm being patient. And right now I'm being quiet. The value that you bring to the marketplace is whatever you set. My deity told me in 2018, before I even found out about this ambassadorship, that I was the woman in the world to teach about depression, to educate and help empower you to find happiness from within. So I decided to lean in, because the Lord and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit run my life 100%, and I'm learning every day to trust them fully, and to not try to do things myself, but to allow them to lead my life. And I'm so grateful that the current active president, his security detail person, came to my house. President Biden's security detail person, the top guy from a defunded group that's not really defunded, but that's okay. He came to my house and he decided to help me. He made some poor choices, but I understand why he made those poor choices. He didn't know how to keep me alive, so he did what he thought was best with the wisdom and knowledge and experience that he had in that position. He was brand new to that position, president of the alumni group of this defunded organization. He did what he thought was best, and he connected me to a mentor of his that protects another political leader. They worked together. And what I didn't plan on at all was falling in love with the man that stepped up to protect me from the political party that's not currently in power right now, but will be protected for the rest of his life because of the commitment and title that he gave to our nation. I had no idea how powerful AI can be and how powerful your calling can be when you lean in. If you get clear, get down on your knees and ask your deity above, whomever you pray to, what is it that you desire for me to do with my life, and get quiet. If you're sincere in your heart, I believe that the creator of the universe will reveal it to you. And if you don't have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe and you would like to, thank you for listening to this special impromptu episode on the value in the marketplace. I would love it if you, wherever you're tuning in from, as long as you're not driving, right? Close your eyes and bow your head with me and just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me this opportunity to join your family. I've made a lot of mistakes in my past, but I know that you've forgiven them all and any future mistakes I might make as long as I stay close to you. I ask that you come into my heart. I ask that you forgive me of everything and replace all of those mistakes with new purpose in my heart so that I can be a transformative person and spread more love around the world. I thank you and I praise you and I receive that relationship fully with you. In your name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family. I'm so excited for you. My husband is as well. Your next steps, I don't have a physical church. I am a minister, but I don't have a physical church. And nor am I officially ordained by society rules. I've been ordained from the creator of the universe. And what I encourage you to do, what we do at Aaron Nicole Ministries, is to get plugged into a Bible-based church and keep God first place. And if you have a different faith system and you want to stick with your faith, we respect that 100%. Like I said earlier in the episode, my parents never forced me to choose any faith. They allowed me to come to it on my own. And it wasn't until a few years ago, before my father passed away, actually, my dad's cousin came to the house. I was curious about my family genealogy because I believe that it helps us to have a stronger perspective if we know our history, our genes, right? And so we have a historian in our family, and he showed us our family history, and I'm in the line of King David, who slayed Goliath. And later on in that family line, if you don't know too much about the Bible history, Jesus Christ came from that line. So I'm in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many great, 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 I don't know how many of those, grandchild of Jesus Christ and King David. Pretty freaking cool. And if you don't know who King David is, I strongly encourage you to look up some history on him. He was a musician. He also was the youngest in his family, the least likely person to be anointed as king, and I forget the terminology, it was like a minister, but it was called something else, actually searched out for the next king to be anointed and came to his house, and his father, Jesse, didn't think that he needed to be called in. He was a shepherd outside, so he didn't invite him in the house, and the minister person was trying to pour oil to anoint his sons, and the oil wouldn't fall out. It wouldn't come out. So finally, the man asked him, "Do you have any other sons?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I've got one more son, but he's just a shepherd out there. He's real small, puny, you know, blah, blah, blah." I'm making up words, of course. I'm reenacting it for you. So he meets David in person, and he knows right away, because he's connected to the divine. He says, this is the chosen one. So he anoints David with oil. And so he knows that he's going to be king at some point, but he doesn't know when. The same thing is true for me. I know that I am the global mental health ambassador for the whole world for depression, because my deity told it to me, whispered it to me in 2018. And then like less than 18 months later, I found out that I was in the running for a global mental health ambassadorship in October of 2020. And that's why I've been attacked continuously. That's why this Illuminati group has multiple times tried to get me to join their group, because they have spiritual powers as well from darkness, and they could sense it. They probably knew since I was in utero, because they actually, in the music industry, bullied my mother, professional musician. My mom got bullied so bad, she decided to not make any money using her musical degree, even though she had a full scholarship for opera. Yeah, she decided to minister. And she has for almost her whole life. She and my dad's sister, my Aunt Carol, they minister to elderly folks' homes. And they've been doing it for like 20 or 30 years together. They were a part of our concerts in 2021 for veterans and first responders, the launch year of our ministry. And when I was called into ministry, it wasn't one ministry. And that's what people keep asking. Well, what is it that you do in your ministry? Well, right now I'm in a quiet season where I've been working on a fun project that my husband encouraged me to do, and what I believed the Holy Spirit desired for me to do, something that I could work on where I'm not posting on social media about it. And I've kept my lips sealed. So the only people that I've shared it with, I will know if information gets leaked, and I will let my husband know that when I see him. And I'm not concerned about information getting leaked, because they can leak it if they desire to. but they're going to have to answer to the creator of the universe if they continue stealing from me, because they didn't have his permission. So I'm believing for October. I'm believing for a new relationship for you and your deity, and be prepared, be on guard. I've been a part of his kingdom since I made a decision when I was very young, probably 3 years old, and then I recommitted my life to Christ when I was 10, when I fully understood what it meant. And I had been abused from my oldest sibling for 2 years, from 3 to 5 years, every kind of abuse you could think of, all of them. So I made a conscious decision to believe that there was something greater out there in the world, despite having the worst level of trust broken that you could imagine. Because I knew in my heart that there was someone greater, something greater than all of the pain in the world, that could give me hope for tomorrow. And that's my purpose to help you, is to keep hope alive and to help strengthen your resiliency muscles. So thanks so much for listening to this episode. At this time, you cannot donate any money to our nonprofit ministry, as we do not have a bank associated with it yet. I do have the bank account, but it's not our time yet. I'm being patient for October, when we sign that contract with all of the top level leaders of the world, and honoring all of the work I've put in for mental health to help people with depression. So we're believing for that in October. But until then, if you learned something from this episode, if it added value to you, value in the marketplace is up to you, right? And so my value is up to me. And I know that I have listeners that love me and care about me all over the world. So if you wouldn't mind reaching out to your president, your prime minister, your governor, any top level leader that you have connections to, even if you don't have connections to them, if you're willing to research and get an email, get a phone number, Secretary of State's office, I want you to reach out to all of them and let them know that you desire for me to win this global mental health ambassadorship. That would mean the world to me. And you also want to let them know, hey, and bring her husband back home, because he's been gone for over a year now. I'm a veteran spouse. He's not an active duty military person. He should be allowed to retire. But because of our political wars going on in my own nation, they won't allow an elderly person that has already served his country for many, 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 many decades. They won't allow him to retire, and they won't respect him as an elderly person that should be respected in our society and is protected under the American Disabilities Act. So I would really love it if you would encourage your top level leaders to get attention on my brand, on my business, on our ministries, and help bring my husband home. Thank you, guys. Don't forget to tell someone you love them today. And we'll see you next time.